Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I'm unmuted now. Let's go. Edward has a comment. 501 area code. Edward. We're going into breaking down the lynching, the social lynching of Judah. And brothers and sisters, it's time for us to get behind our men. Not on no George Floyd garbage. 501 area code.
Shalom, Mountain.
Hey, Edward, you're live. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I just wanted to have a comment. Because I kind of caught, you know, the end of the show, but based off of a particular source that I'm hearing, I'm not going to give the name. It's an online forum through BitChute. But they were talking about white supremacy being tied with Iran. And so I'm looking at this and, you know, and comparing notes to what you are bringing. And to see how it, you know, how it's kind of like all over the place, but they're definitely, you know, have a lot to say regarding this, you know, this white supremacy stuff, and having a reason to go to war with Iran, which is you know, kind of ridiculous when you look at it. I'll be willing to give you the source, you know, offline or what have you. I would appreciate it if you would give me a call sometime so I can speak with you concerning some things as well, too.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm going to place you on hold, brother. I'll make sure the elder writes your number down, and I'll call you soon. All right?
Okay. Thanks, Father.
All right. Well, bye. Anytime you hear about the news trying to demonize and try to use verbiage like white supremacy, know that it's straight garbage. Okay, straight garbage. Okay, the only thing they're trying to do, just like when they went into the 1% and all this old other crap, let me tell you, it's all about trying to win over the sentiment of the grassroots to make us believe that they're actually on our side concerning things, okay? So they're going to try to use verbiage like white supremacy, white nationalists, we are against these white nationalists. These are white people on TV saying this too. And you know that they're laughing and joking the whole time in boardrooms making this crap up, okay? All right? It's really about having us believe that there's some people in high places fighting white supremacy. It's utterly ridiculous. There'll always be white supremacy until Christ returns. It's called the Roman Empire. The Bible prophesied the Roman Empire, the fourth beast. Okay, so they can put that out there, you know, to try to trigger those who don't know any better to go against the system to stomp you out. That's all they're doing. It's bait. White supremacy. If they're against white supremacy, what they'll be saying in of itself is, it's time for us to stop our own rulership. I'm against my own rulership. Utterly ridiculous. 404 area code.
Hey, Elder, how you doing?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahia. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm calling on the social lynching of Judah. I have a couple of comments, and I want to ask you a question at the end, if you don't mind. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Negro Project. I don't know if you've heard of it, but before Planned Parenthood was actually called that, it was called the Negro Project, and it talks about Margaret Sanger's, it's a diabolical, dangerous, disastrous, and deadly plan for Black America. I looked up the word diabolical. It actually means characteristics of the devil, or so evil as to be suggestive of the devil. So The biggest social lynching of Judah that we have going on right now, this book has been an eye-opener. We have 1,000 abortions a day in the black community. That adds up to 500,000 abortions a year. And since 1973, it's been 19 million abortions. And I did not know this, but abortion
is the leading... Listen, we've covered the Negro Project. We went over that some of our lessons. And even in the academy, we've talked about the study progression of eugenics, where evolution and Darwinism, all of these things were a part of convincing the people medically that our people are genetically inferior to white people.
Yeah.
And to do so, they can get rid of us through natural process and be absolved from it because we haven't evolved into a person yet. So this is why it's okay for them to do certain things medically to us that they can't do to other races of people. This thing is really ingrained within the fabric of America, these witches, warlocks, and eugenicists who are going to always use some level of science to attack our people. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter what plague, whatever comes down, it'll be us. And I believe what we're going through, what you're seeing right now, is their final solution. And this is why they started putting out words like the people who are disproportionately affected. By saying that, they were able to segregate us politically from everyone else and make us the target of this campaign.
Right.
You understand? Yeah, what you're saying about the Negro Project, guess what? What you're saying about that, we're looking right now, we're living at the end of that plan.
Wow.
Because now that we woke up to what they were doing to our children under mental health and how they were trying to get stuff in our people and all that, have to go to school and all that, and we're starting to wake up to all that. And we started counting the numbers when it comes to abortion and all those things and realized, hold up, I thought this was a feminist thing. I thought this was a feminist cause. But how is this a feminist cause, and yet the majority of children that are dying or not getting born are black children, black young men in particular. So this is not a feminist thing if at the end of the day, no matter what they come up with, it's our people dying in mass numbers. So now that our people have figured that out and say they want to come back to the Most High and start being traditional and doing things right, they say, well, now I believe this is the final solution when they don't have anything else left in the bag. I believe this is really their last big thing before rolling out the mark of the beast. But go ahead. You have the last word.
Yeah, the book says that, you know, if there isn't some type of spiritual phenomenon that it could lead to the extermination of the black race. And I agree with that, but I believe that spiritual phenomenon will be Christ coming back to save his people. If you don't mind, I wanted to ask you a quick question. I know in the Hebrew and Bible Academy, sometimes you break down different songs. And I wanted to ask you if you have heard the song by Prince called New World. Have you heard that song yet?
I probably did, but I can't recall it right now, but I'll listen to it after this. I'll write it down and listen to it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you if you get a free 3 minutes. It's called New World by Prince. He brought the song out in 1996. He wasn't Prince then; he was the symbol. But in the song, he talks about the Jim Jones juice having a tracker in it. And I remember you went over DARPA in one of your Friday classes. So. He also talks about the biology of the human being altered, and there would be a blurred line between male and female where you won't be able to understand, you won't be able to tell the difference between a boy and girl. So I'm like, man, that was 25 years ago, and Prince, you know, seemed like maybe he was connected to some information, because for him to say that is, you know, that's pretty relevant in today's time. So I would like to hear your breakdown of that song, because I know occasionally you know, you do break down songs in the Hebrew Revival Academy. And that's it.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to talk about. Yep.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make sure, let me put it here. What I'll do I'll listen to it. Are you in this academy?
Yes, I am. I'm in my sixth Hebrew and Bible Academy. I won't be missing any. So, you know, I'm on Patreon. So everywhere you at, I'm there. If you, it's kind of like
you.
If you root for Naomi. So, I really am blessed by your ministry. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, praise, it's the Most High's work. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I need you to check this out because Elder Ramar sent me something. And I'll listen to the song and we'll review it together in the academy this Sunday, okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Shalom.
All right. Shalom.
And we'll be going into the truth concerning the dark forces that rule this world. All right? The truth about what they call aliens. Tracing the serpent seed next Sunday. If you wish to be a part of it, it's only week two, and we'll give you the week missed. Go to historytimes.org. Don't worry about it. We'll enroll you, get you in, and you'll still have the lesson and everything you've missed from the previous the previous Sunday. So this you're not going to miss anything Sunday. You're going to get the first week, and you'll be ready to get in starting the second. The second installment, Tracing the Serpent Seed. Let me pull something up here. Excuse me. Yeah, there it is. All right. Check this out. CNN Business, Elder Lawyer. CNN Business. CNN Business. What do we have here? CNN Business. And you're a Hebrew guy, so you can more so go into it than I can, Elder Lawyer, with the in the academy this Sunday, since we're talking about the Hebrew. I hate when CNN does this. They make it where you can hardly get... Yeah, here it is right here. They make it where the advertisement takes up the page, so no one can actually see the title. Here it is right here. Hebrew speakers mocked Facebook corporate rebrand to Meta. Most people don't know that Facebook is changing its name. So they're saying that Hebrew speakers mock Facebook, Israel. Social media users in Israel are mocking Facebook's company name change to Meta, as it sounds similar to the Hebrew word dead. Speaking of zombie. See, they love doing things in code. So they say the name is being changed from Facebook to dead. What's that about? This is CNN, too. Many Twitter users scoff at the social media company's rebrand, revealed by founder Mark Zuckerberg earlier this week. Using the hashtag Facebook dead, somebody did not do their hashtag branding research. It says author, Dr. Nirit Weiss Black, author of the TechLash and Tech Crisis Communications, tweeted, in Hebrew, Meta means dead. The Jewish community will ridicule his name for years to come. So what do you think they're saying in code there, Elder Lawyer, in the Hebrew, moving Facebook from Facebook to what? To the dead. You think they're foreshadowing a few plans, something to come or whatever the case is? It's just interesting that CNN Business would actually put that out there. All right.
Yeah, very interesting. And if we were to pair it with, I'm not mistaken, Shapat brought out something in the news pertaining to this Facebook Meta, where it will be a full experience, a full virtual reality experience, where you can basically create a whole new life in the virtual world. So what happens to your real life? Your real life is gone. It's dead. You have now become just a virtual character in the virtual world.
Mm. Well, let's cover that also. If we're going to look more into that with the Hebrew, I want you to tell me what you will find by this Sunday. All right. Tracing the Serpent Seed this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. We're going to go into the fallen ones and who's really running things on earth. All right. It's going to surprise you, some of you. All right. Let's go down the line. And again, if you wish to be a part of that, go to historytimes.org. Joshua has a question from the 601 area code. Shalom, Joshua.
Hey, how are you doing? Shalom, Elder. It's an honor to be on the podcast. And praise to the Most High. And I'm actually in the academy. When I tell you, Elder, when you went into just Genesis, my jaw dropped. You gave me a whole new understanding of what I was going over tens of times. But I have two questions. My first question, well, more of like a comment, sir. So it was on Revelations chapter 9 and verse 11. That's my first question. When you had brought out about Abaddon and Apollyon, I realized that I had looked into it. I found out that Apollyon, there's different names for Abaddon and Apollyon. One of the names was Gilgamesh, and I found out that Gilgamesh was a ruler in Babylon. So, you know, as before, so shall it be. So when I found out this is the king, and I understood that even king, corona, in a sense, a king wears a crown. Corona means crown in a certain understanding that I had got from. And when you had went into, before I go too far into it, do you have any understanding on CERN? I remember you saying something about that.
Well, the information I have on CERN is the fact that what they found is that's really an ancient artifact. It was actually part of the original Tower of Babel, the base of it.
Mm. So when you had brought out the fact of these spirits, these Divic, possession of an evil spirit, my understanding, I'm understanding that these spirits they're trying to release spirits into our realm. So when these spirits got released,
they're not trying to. They are releasing the spirits. Ever since they've turned CERN on, ancient spirits are now being released in the earth.
So I was just basically topping off of what you said. Like that was a even greater revelation to me, the fact about this jab, and you was even going into the zombie situation. Not even say the actual V word, but the jab. I've watched the movie Get Out, and in the movie, you know, you basically suppress the consciousness of something. Now, to my understanding, some people even feel like they're spiritually dead. Now, in the sense of zombie, they're spiritually dead, and another spirit is able to take over their spirit. So when you even said that we may see random events of violence around the world because they're no longer spiritually inclined to receive from the Most High, so the only spirit they can receive are these spirits that's being released, even with the Dovic situation. But that's my first comment. It was actually in Ezekiel, and I remember even saying that you don't believe that there was like more people than Adam and Eve in the garden. Was that right?
There weren't any other people outside of Adam and Eve. That's philosophy.
Yes, sir.
There's no other people. Because I proved that in the academy.
Yes, sir.
I showed you exactly who Cain married when he went to Nod. When you go into Genesis 5, it tells you that Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. So that was before the law of incest, because nations weren't divided in the earth at that time. Cain actually married his sister, Awan, in the land of Ai. You can read that in the book of Jubilees, another record the Most High gave Moses and told him to hide. So, yes, a lot of this, what you're saying, it's right on, but there weren't no other people. Now, there were beings in the earth, but not people. Now, hold up now. Let's not put the cart before the horse. Because this is why I'm going into Tracing the Serpent Seed this Sunday.
God.
I'm going to show you who was here and how they got here and how eventually they would emerge out of the ice. I went into the firmament where when it shows the firmament was put around the face of the deep, and it tell you that in Job 38 that the face of the deep is frozen. That's the ice age. And subsequent to that, once the earth was charged by the angels, Hades in the middle, that waters start to break off and go into rivers and all those things, seas were made. And subsequent to that, you still had the others trapped in ice. They built cities there. And eventually they came out of the cities and beheld the image of God, Adam. So I'm going there. So Adam wasn't alone, but they couldn't touch him because at that time there was a connection between the heavenly realm and earth until Adam sinned. So, but they couldn't mess with him. They could. It's like this. The only way they could come in is if they were invited. They had to be invited in. So
I want to stay home.
No more.
Yes,
you're in the second week. Be there Sunday. Be there Sunday, please.
I will, sir.
All right.
Thank you so
all right.
much, brother.
All right. Okay. All right. Go to historytimes.org, Josh. I'm glad you're in. And when I make statements, I like to prove what I'm saying. And a lot of you are getting some insight of what we deal with in the academy, a little bit of it. Let me show you this. Let me show you 1 second here. Web here. Let me get it. Lesson. Hold on. Let me get it. Right here. I like to give people an insight of some of the things that I'm saying. This is from CERN, a document from CERN that was turned on. And as you can see, these are white papers, scientist papers. CERN Accelerating Science, and as you can see, in their white papers from 1970, February, they broke down undermining the Tower of Babel. That's right, CERN in Europe is an actual part of the Tower of Babel. Here's the white papers, I got it right there in front of you. From CERN Accelerating Science, and even back in the back there in 1970, they were afraid of what happens if they were to turn CERN on. And guess what? That's right. In around 2011 and 2012, they turned it on, and you started hearing about earthquakes all over the place. Because why? That thing is powerful. It's releasing demons and causing the total destruction on the earth. I'll be going into that. So I have the paperwork. Listen, this is science information and all that to let you know that, yes, the Tower of Babel has been turned on. I'll be going into that too. All right. 1 second here. We have Sabrina Kwame. I have you. I'm going to bring you in also. Ed, I have you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to let you all in. Sabrina? Yes. Shalom, you're live.
Shalom, Elder Ricard. This is Sabrina from Washington State. I'm in the academy, and it's just mind-blowing. All the puzzle pieces are adding together, so thank you for just being who you are.
Praise the Most High.
Also, I have to, yes, absolutely. And I have two questions. So the first question is, so with the Facebook turning into Meta, everybody should definitely delete their Facebook Meta thing right now, right?
Oh, I don't know, sister. I mean, personally, you know, I had a conversation about that in the academy where I said that, listen, some of these platforms, if we use them with our privacy in mind, isn't a bad deal if you're doing business or other things like that. But when it comes to a time where you allow them to intrude in your privacy, putting your children out there, your family out there, your locations, where you're going, that's when social media becomes very dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't know whether or not someone should Like, that's one platform that I've never been a part of, and I don't care to be a part of it. But, I mean, I know that it's used as a reconnaissance, and a lot of people connect their phones to it where everywhere you go. Don't forget, this guy got so much information on you. He have more information than any of your family members. I'm speaking of Zuckerberg. So mm-hmm. I think people need to be cognizant and disconnect themselves when it comes to how much of privacy they're giving the public. All right? So I'm not there, so I can't make that choice for you. I don't know where it's going. But you have to make an individual choice. But you really need to make sure your children and your family members are not there. And here's a tough thing about this. When it all goes down, and you're not going to be able to deny when things go down who your family is. You may want to save the family member and say, I'm here alone. They'll be like, well, no. Here's your cousin's name. They came here yesterday. Here's this, here's that. I know your children. I know exactly what they're like. I have all the data on you. So mm-hmm. really, a lot of this data is reconnaissance for war. And see, and that's why I'm very careful. People shouldn't try to put their personal information out there and shouldn't try to put other people's personal information out there either. Privacy is a one. Okay? Mm-hmm. You want as little about you out there as possible.
Right, okay? Right. Thank you. And my next question is, so I know that you mentioned something to do with the vax going out on people who are part of, you know, SSI and getting food stamps. What is the prediction that you have for that?
What is the what?
What is your prediction for that? Is it something? Well, I can't speak for you, but...
Okay, let me answer that, because I understand what you're asking. What you're asking in a nutshell, sooner or later, being that they're now starting off with the basketball players and football players and making mandates that if not complied with, can shut off their livelihood. I talked about this years ago. What if mm-hmm. that thing now transitioned into the public sector now, not private, where you cannot get your welfare, EBT, your Section 8, your subsidies. What if they now put the obligation of tests or even worse on you, threatened your food stamps or whatever the case is? Well, this is why we've been telling people it's time to pivot. Don't allow the circumstance to force you into a circumstance in which there is no choice but to sacrifice yourself to make sure your child eats. Okay? You don't want to get there while there's still some similitude of movement. We need to get in front of all of this to make sure that if they say, well, listen, we're going to cut you off tomorrow, you're not going to make a decision based on not being able to feed your family. So now it's time to start pivoting. And this is what COVID allowed others to do, begin to understand how to be able to operate in some level of entrepreneurship. Find a gift. Do it. I mean, hey, I went and bought myself a flat top that for cheesesteaks and all that. I got that right there waiting. So that if I have to make some sandwiches, whatever the case is, boom, you can get yourself a
You're
going to
make me one, right?
Listen, go downtown, get yourself a cheap vending license, go to Amazon, get yourself a flat top and a deep fryer. You can got your fries, you got your wings, you got your bread, you got your sandwiches. Whatever the case is, start finding a way to make money while the getting is good right now, and stack and prepare. Make sure you have herbs, make sure you have all the herbs of the earth. Because sometimes you may not be able to get to a hospital and you'll need herbs to help you for whatever the case is. And food. Make sure you have food stored. So now it's about getting in front of it, knowing that what we're discussing may be the next move. If they can tell Kyrie Irving, well, listen, in New York, you can't play basketball, even though other people can come in and play that didn't get it. By living in New York, you can't. If they can cut off $9 million, they can definitely cut off $9, $10, $30 million from a man strictly because he don't want to take a medical procedure. They can definitely cut off some food stamps, I mean, an EBT card. Okay? Mm-hmm. So it's about pivoting and getting in front of things now, knowing it's coming, okay? And more so than it, anything, get with someone of like mind that you can trust and say, well, listen, let's do some co-oping together. Let's, you know, co-oping finance, you know, not financially, but storage and things of that nature, and make it where it's a team play, where it's not just an individual, and make sure it's someone you can trust. Mm-hmm. But now it's time. It's time to start planning, sister. All right?
All right. Well, I can't wait to try what you throw on the grill.
Oh, yeah. Hey, let me tell you, folks. Like I said, it all started a long time ago when I asked my father for some money. He talking about allowance. And I'm sitting there, I done grew out of my pants and everything, and I'm still asking for allowance. He said, I got some allowance for you. I'm like, yeah, what's up? Where my money at? And he took me downstairs and pointed me to a tool belt, some wood, and a hammer. He says, there go your allowance right there. I'm like, man, I'm like, you gave Anton money. He's like, listen, dude, you almost wearing my pants. You ain't getting no allowance. You go over there and you make yourself a shoe shine box. Okay? I'll give you the schematics. You'll learn a skill. You'll have a shoe shine box. And you'll learn how to work wood at the same time. Boom. And then you can go downtown and shine shoes. $3 a shoe. They'll give you tips. You can go dance. You can spend it whatever you want. And I bet you'll never ask me for another dime. He said, I bet you. I'll be asking you for money, son. And, hey, at that point, I realized it doesn't matter where you drop our people off. If you got the skills, you'll survive. We need to get out of this socialized type of thinking and move into the spirit of creators. I mean, if they can build a whole country using slaves, and we had way less coming off the boats. We didn't have no EBT cards. We didn't have it. We were just thrust into boats and build everything you see here. So it's time to start utilizing some of those gifts for ourselves. All right. Now, boom, 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 boom. Let me go down the line, a few more calls, and then we're going to break down. Okay, this has been a great broadcast. I don't want any overkill. And I tried to wait for Elder Gabbar, but I'm sure he's in an important meeting. 646 area code. Let me bring Kwame in.
Hey, Shalom, elders. How y'all doing?
Shalom, how are you?
I'm all right. Blessed by the best. I just wanted to just make two comments. One about the Arabs moving into the communities. You already know what that's about. You know, they always use them to take our women to set up those shops where they sell the bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll without people behind it making it, and they won't touch the pork, but they'll sell it to us and all that, and they'll sell the cigarettes and the liquor and all that kind of stuff to our people to keep Judah docile, and also to convert us, you know, because like Psalms 83, you know, that's a scripture we always read that tells us that tabernacles of Edom and Ishmael, they confederate, you know, they love to pretend like they against one another, like that left-right paradigm you always talk about, and they love
okay.
to pretend like the Arabs are against Edom, and while Edom is using them to infiltrate into the communities because they brown skin, and you know they bring the cover and the stuff like that into it, and it changes the demographic as far as who you can trust and things like that, because once they become Muslims, now everybody's an enemy in that sect. As far as Kyrie Irving, the other thing I'm going to say is it's funny that they allow Magic Johnson to play with HIV, but this brother won't get a vaccine, and now he's like the enemy of the NBA in the world now, but they allow Magic Johnson to play with HIV out of retirement, and it's more contagious than anything. You know, it's just crazy that this has become such a vital part of our lives to be jabbed up or not. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Hey, it's deep that you mentioned the comparison. That was a great observation there, to mention the similarities, how they were able to introduce HIV to the black community through using a prominent figure we all looked up to, Magic Johnson. And that was the first introduction we had to any HIV or AIDS in our communities. And, yeah, they allowed him to play with it. And another thing, it was Fauci during that same time who made this connection between HIV and AIDS. And all the other doctors were looking at it and saying, well, hold up, there's no connection there. It was Fauci there introducing, along with these doctors, a new death to our communities that we thought was a gay disease. It started someplace else, another community.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the end of it, it's our people dying in number after it was introduced. See, this is why they're pushing back at Kyrie Irving. What if Magic Johnson would have pushed back and say, well, hold up, let me look at this HIV things more carefully and not just take this diagnosis that they're claiming came out of nowhere. So I'm glad that you pointed that out, because they're trying to do the same thing by using sports figures to introduce what's good for us based on a disease. And here it is. It was Fauci then and Fauci now, and that's fact. Okay? Great observation. Thank you, brother.
All praises to him.
All right. Shalom. That's interesting. All right. Let me bring in Elder Gabor Yasha'Allah, my man, my brother, from another mother. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take the rest of your calls, folks, but I said I was going to let Gabor in. He was on a call, so... Elder Gabor, come on in. Hold on. Oh, there he is, the brother from another mother. Oh, shucks now.
How are we doing, Elder? How are we doing? Doing the show. My apologies.
It's okay.
You know, dealing with something in Virginia, but everything's working out.
Okay, it's fine. Talk to me. You're live.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to kind of... you know, and I think that brother Kwam came up with a great point in regards to that looks like that may be like a t-shirt or at least one of those thumbnails or algorithm things that you could spread out just to open discussion. You know, they allow Magic Johnson to come in and play after he got diagnosed with HIV, but they're making a big stink out of a flu.
Not just a cold or whatever it is, right? It's he doesn't have anything. So here it is. Magic can play with a disease that we thought in the community was a death sentence at that time. We knew nothing about HIV and AIDS.
Right.
And he can play on the Dream Team and all that. With something that we thought was a death sentence. But a man that doesn't have any disease at all that we know of can't play, and his money's being taken from him based on him not getting something shot into him.
Mm-hmm.
He don't have no disease, but he can't play. And HIV, and here it is, Magic Johnson had HIV at a time that we thought was a death sentence, and he played. Does it have to make sense anymore? But go on.
It doesn't, right? But, you know, yes, land backing on the conversation you're having today in regards of the attack on Judah, right?
Yeah.
And I think it is a deliberate thing that they are dividing the two tribes, the northern and the southern, in regards of only associating racism, prejudice, slavery, Jim Crow, only with the northern tribes, the southern, excuse me. Every single time we see a picture of a black man in history, or talking about American history, they usually associate the black man with a chain, slavery. They usually paint them with a defeated attitude, right? Defeated look. And they, every time they portray a Native American, they usually portray him with a proud look. Strong.
Yeah.
Proud.
Some level of dignity.
Some level of dignity.
Yeah.
And usually when you hear the narrative that the Native Americans or the indigenous people either got wiped out or they didn't want to fight or they didn't want to serve in slavery and they fought back. And that's why they had to get slaves from Africa because they were more manageable. Right? There were more, you get what I'm saying? It's like the narrative is showing that the natives were proud, dignified people. They fought, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they didn't fight, because they did. But what the people need to understand that the reason why slavery had to end in America is because the uprising happening in the South.
Yeah.
They could not sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
They could not sustain it. It was not an unsustainable situation. It worked for a little bit, but it didn't rock the way they wanted to rock. So they had to come with a different narrative. It's like, okay, let's make them like they're free, but let's give them less rights.
Exactly.
That's the best way. We got to give them something because we are dying in high numbers, white people, with uprising, where our crops are getting burned. Our crops are getting, you know, destroyed, and these slaves are uprising to the point that, and this is something that's not even discussed, the Seminole Indian Wars was actually a united front between Native Americans and African Americans fighting against slavery and oppression.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, it was just getting bad for business. It was bad for business. So I'm glad you're breaking that off because breaking it down because a lot of people would believe for some reason that slavery altogether, well, chattel slavery was done away with.
Right.
But slavery altogether never left because there was one provision within the Constitution, Elder, that if you commit a crime, all your rights as a citizen will revert you back to 3/5 of a man. So the only thing they would have to do now is to make what we do natural, crime. So that now they can systematically pull you out of society and do it that way and be justified. Yeah. So there was no, and on top of that, what they did recognize in slavery, Gabbar, is that when you treat the slaves decent in comparison to the, you have that division between the field slaves and the house slaves. Well, suppose we can create a whole society of house slaves where they have access to almost be on the same level as us, as long as they're separate, right? So the field slaves had all the strength and might and were more irritated than the house slaves.
Mm-hmm.
So let's use this as a case study and make a society of people who are house slaves, but slaves nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Because folks, you have a lot of people that was on the plantations who was upset with the field slaves causing issues. They're like, listen, we got it better than the plantation over there.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like there was an all out negative sentiment from our portion with slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So Esau sat back there and said, you know what? Let's check out the mentality of those who was okay with it and make that what a societal norm using psychology and giving them things and rewarding them like we did those who were in the house. But go ahead, Lord Elder Gabbar. Your floor.
Yeah, and so, you know, and that's why, you know, all the tribes got to not fall for the trick, not fall for the game, not fall for these things, right? They do to keep us separate, you know, divided. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe that now we have to start targeting and, you know, it's like, you know, if you are a Levite, you should, you know, your people struggle, your point of view. If you're Ephraimite, if you're Simeonite, if you're Gadite, if you're Benjamite, you know your people struggles. So you could, you'll probably be the best way to the person to, you know, to represent your people. But I think you should also bring specifically a brother from another tribe with you, so then your tribe could see that unity. Because more and more, we have to see the visual unity within the tribes, right? And it can particularly explain, I'll come in through the door, right? I'll come in through the Benjamin door because of, I am with a Benjamin. He could let me in the club because, you know, he knows me and they know him. Okay, we'll let you in because you come recommended by this guy, but then they could see that unity. Why are you guys a friend? What's going on? Same scenario, right? So I think that we have to start doing it. But I'm gonna leave with this. You know, yesterday we had a show. We had like a little cute competition, and I think it's fitting to me to bring it out. And basically the competition, I had it with Bishop Amav, Deacon Dave from Canada, Bishop Kazak from Pittsburgh, and myself.
Okay.
And the competition was, we're not going to get angry for a week. Don't let anybody get you angry for a week. And I'm okay so far, I think. I've been okay. Two consoles today, it didn't blow my top, I'm good. So, but what I'm saying that to say this, that I think part of the success in me learning, okay, I gotta focus not to get angry today, right? When I'm driving, get cut off, or, you know, then now it kind of forces you to think or act nicer, right? Because then you understand, right, when in a certain situation. And I'm saying, you know what, maybe this is something that we could also exercise within the nation, that we should not get angry at the nation because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be looking out for their people.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be, hey, let's open up a Chinese store in the ghetto. I open the store, then I send my cousin, my nephew, then you bring your people. And they're supposed to do that. That's So if we just release the anger, of the fact that most nations look out for each other. And if we as a human race can be honest about that, then we could say, you know what? They're doing what they're supposed to do. So now we could say, you know what? Let's do what they're doing for their people. Let's do it for ourselves. And let's not get angry about it. This is the game, the way it's played. Nations look out for nations. So let the children of Israel look out for the children of Israel. And I think it kind of releases you of that. Look what they did. Look, you know, and focus on that, and because that could lead to hate and resentment, and it's not healthy. I don't think it's healthy for people to hold on to that hate all the time, rather than say, you know what? Listen, let's learn from these Gentiles in regards to how they do it. You know, look at the Amalek, how they rock and roll. Look at all these Israelites. They go and they start a shop. One person pays his way out of the debt that they pay for him, and another person comes. They do it, and they're crushing it. So I think we, instead of complaining, look what they're doing. We're like, yo, let's take some notes. Let's do that times, you know, 5,000. Let's rock and roll, and then let's create our own Israelite Wall Street. That's what we need to do, and start and focusing on, let's do for ourselves. And don't take it personally when the other people are looking out for themselves. That's human nature. So let's look out for ourselves. That should encourage us more to love each other more, to forgive each other more, to, you know, work together despite if we have some differences. Because guess what? People in corporations, they're working together. They still got to bring that, whatever they need to bring, the boss wanted them to bring the report, whatever, they're working together. They may hate each other's guts, but they're still working together for the greater good or the, you know, the whatever. So we have to start thinking in that concept in regards to, like, you know what, let's not worry too much or complain why or what the nations are doing. Let's do for us.
Hey, let me tell you something, man. I wish I'd have heard this last night, but I was really helping a brother last night, and I'm going to talk to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Add me in on that challenge.
Okay. It's from Tuesday to Tuesday. For next Tuesday, we're going to do
that. Well, listen. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll start Wednesday, and I'll end mine Wednesday. I will not get angry. I won't allow anything to get me angry, and I'm going to just try it for a week. And because I'm going to tell you what happens when we're like that, temperate, like the Bible says. It takes the power from the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Like the only reason that like these people I've mentioned, the Black Lives Matter and all these other intersectionals that's in position to control our community right now, the only reason they were able to get so many people to join the ranks in their campaign leading up to the election is because they were able to play on the anger of the people.
Mm.
That's a political tool.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to cause an environment that would actually draw a negative out of people that can be used. And they can use negative even to unite. That's how evil Satan is. He's the only power that be in the earth that can use negative to incite a positive outcome for this world, for him. He can get something positive out of triggering negative, the
mm-hmm.
negative energy. It's fear, these two, fear and anger. I'm going to teach about that this coming Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Fear, I'm glad you said this. Fear and anger is his two tools. So what if they talk about George Floyd and I say, well, okay, I'm not angry. Let's get Ice Cube in the room so we can talk about finances in our community to make sure another George Floyd will never die again. Because we can't bring George Floyd back, so I'm not going to get upset and anger and all that. We're going to do something about it by us actually fixing it permanently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you, can you imagine their reaction with that?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine? They wouldn't be able to use us politically anymore if they don't trigger us emotionally through racism. And that's why a lot of people get upset that I don't talk about the white man is this and the white man is that, is because let me tell you, folks, who's more an issue? The white man or the politicians in our community that looks like us, that they put in place to carry out their plans? Look at our community. We voted the black people in. And look at our community.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm over that already. I realize that the whole idea of the white boogeyman wears a black face.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So another thing. Knowledge. I'm going to show you what happened when a brother went into the hospital last night, Elder Gabbar.
Hmm.
Even though the doctor told him it was okay and that he only had a little, because he went and got a breathing treatment for asthma or whatever, and then he was about to leave, and the nurse refused to give him a prescription because he didn't want to go along with everything else she was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So I got right here, he texts me, and I'm going to show you right here, he texts me the vial that's in his hand, because he said he's going to check everything before he do anything, that she's mm-hmm. tried to give him, even though he was fine. He just left with an asthma attack, and he was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, no, I'm okay. And you know what he did? Because the Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. The doctor said he was okay, and the nurse came in with something called it's methylprednisolone, whatever that is. And he was like, what's that? The doctor said, I'm good. Just give me my prescription. She says, no, but I need to give you this. And look at what the side effects are, Elder. Upset stomach, stomach irritation, vomiting, headache, dizziness, insomnia, restlessness, depression, nausea and vomiting, weight gain, confusion, excitement and restlessness, swelling of your ankle, feet, or hands, skin problems such as acne, thin skin, shiny skin, increased thirst, infection is a side effect. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, what does that have to do with what he went there and got his breathing treatment and went home, and he's right now drinking teas and just, oh, he slept like a baby. He's a little, you know, after having asthma or whatever. I mean, it seems like a lot of people are having asthma symptoms for some reason. So he went there and told him exactly what he wanted. They gave it to him and he got home. But the doctor, Elder Gabbar, said he was fine. Said, listen, just go. I'll give you some antibiotics. You'll be fine. But then some nurse lurked in a couple of minutes later and tried to give him that. I don't know. Hey, people just need to be more on point and ask questions, because you do have the right to look up what's going on before it happens to you. And based on what I'm seeing here, if he was disoriented and dizzy, who knows what he could have signed or whatever there? Who knows where he would have ended up? Who knows? I don't know. I'm just saying, but anyway,
that's right. You know, it's so important for you, if it's all possible, you know, become the vessel that would avoid, that would never need to hit to the, you know, never go to the doctor unless you, you know, want to check, do a checkup.
Yeah.
Try to walk for a half hour a day. If you're overweight, check. Try to lose 10 pounds a month or 5 pounds a month. Little by little, step by step.
Yeah.
Just get healthier. Just get healthier. If you eat too much this, cut it a little bit. Don't go cold turkey. Just little by little. Just get healthy, because, listen, I haven't gone to the doctor. Well, last time I went to the doctor is because I wanted to check my blood. It was like, I wanted to check where my health was at. Doctor, my wife was saying. Other than that, you know, and it's not because I'm the healthiest guy in the world, but it is possible. You know, it is possible that you could be in a situation that you could go through your whole life not ever needing a doctor. You could eat right, take your vitamins, drink enough water.
Yeah.
And then when people ask you, when is the last time you went to the doctor, you check your head. It's like, in the 80s or something, you know. So it is possible. So I'm always urging everybody to continue to increase their health. And because that's where they get you, you know, when you're in there, now you have to figure out, okay, I have to get somebody who has the power of attorney to make the decision, because just in case I go under, it's all kinds of, you know, your baby's being born. What are you taking my baby? What you putting in my baby? You know, if it's all possible, focus on midwife. We already have a lot of midwives in the church. They're licensed. They got everything's above board. All the credentials, you can check their, you know, so. Going back to doing for ourselves, you know, those hospitals, you know, they just want to stuck you with stuff it's dangerous, you know.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's like hospital in of itself is just a place, right?
Yeah.
It's just, but we have to have the knowledge what we're going in there for.
Exactly.
Like I've mentioned, fear, anger, all of these different things without a sound mind leads us to making decisions that will regret in the long run. And this is why I'm glad the brother had enough sense to say, you know what, let me look up some of this stuff. And then another nurse came to him and said, well, listen, I guess she looked around and said, listen, you did the right thing. No. And I say, what were these black nurses, white nurses? He says, no, both of them were white. He says, one came in and didn't want to give me a prescription or nothing, even though I told her the doctor said I was fine. So don't forget, Elder Gabbar, a lot of these doctors, it's compartmentalized. Mm-hmm. They come in to work certain hours contracted for a hospital because they have the license to practice.
Yeah.
But the nurses and all that, a lot of them are with the corporate structure. They're there whether the doctors are there or not. And she came after he left, and then we said, well, listen, the doctor just told me I was fine. She says, well, he's busy with another patient, because he wanted to speak to the doctor. He says, write me a prescription. She said, well, I can't do nothing until you take this.
Yeah.
And then when he was about to leave, after realizing something fishy was going on with that particular person, another nurse came to him and said, young man, you made the right decision. Good night. Hope you're feeling better.
Yeah. And to kind of give you guys an insight in what goes in the medical work, because I used to do marketing for a radiology office.
Okay.
And I was friends with a lot of pharmaceutical mark rep. I had the opportunity to become a pharmaceutical rep. I was always afraid that I would be killing people or promoting death, right? So I stood away from that. But within the radiology and also the pharmaceutical, what they do is they do what they call like, it's like a workshop for doctors, educational, if it's a new technology or a new radiology machine or an MRI, a CAT scan, a new service, we will do a luncheon and we'll invite the staff and we'll do a presentation. So you have a self rep. This is what's going on in medicine 2021. We have a self rep speaking to hospital staff. We have a new technique, and this is how you can, these are the patients that you could subscribe this new technique or this new radiology machine or this, or yada, yada, yada. We're actually educating them in how to perceive these things. And this is the reason why. Because the medical laws, EPA laws and all that, changes from month to month.
Okay.
So is our job as radiologists that promoting, because, you know, I used to, you know, that was my job to make sure that doctors are up to date. Like, you know, like for instance, doctor, you know, if you could subscribe an MRI for headaches to see if they have this, that, and the other. Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
So it's up to us to make them aware of the different laws to help us to have them send us more patients, right?
Okay.
Mm.
So within the pharmaceutical, and I see these presentations because sometimes we have like, you know, I go first, I'm doing a luncheon, and I'm seeing somebody else walking out, doing a presentation. Hey, what's up, buddy? What's going on? What you doing? Yeah, I'm here doing a rep. Okay. So it's part of the game.
Okay.
But we present this thing as an educational thing. With, you know, and giving them even the different insurances that do coverage and how you have to verbalize it, and for the doctor to get paid or the doctor to for us to get paid, you know, it won't be rejected. Same thing with the pharmaceutical. So the pharmaceutical rep, what they do, they go and they say, hey, there's a new drug. It's FDA approved. And they promote it like it's a new wonder drug.
Okay.
And they have to, you know, and you have a nurse that says, are there any side effects? And they say, yeah, this mild side effects, this and the other, coughing or headaches or slight this and the other. And so therefore, when they have these meetings and then you have this new drug being pushed, then the administrator understands that, okay, if this new drug is going to be pushed, the hospital is getting paid and the pharmaceutical is getting paid.
Mm.
So if you've seen a doctor, so a lot of it is driven by money and just, you know, because every hospital is fighting tooth and nail to get approved for every visit. So it all depends if you could get visited. If you have a good team of people that will do all the behind the scenes, the billing. If you have a smart biller, one visit can make a difference between $5,000 to $10,000 or $15,000.
I've seen
it
that.
All depends how you word it.
I've seen that, and I've seen them also. And I had to stop them from doing this because what they'll do is they want you to have insurance because they can charge more for the items there, and they can bill you for things.
Exactly.
For a Q-tip, it was $300. For this, it was $200 because it's not coming out of your pocket. It's coming from the insurance company. So if they see the max of what they can get from the insurance company, Yeah. A syringe, one shot can be worth $600-700. But let me say this on the back of what you're saying. Now to understand the arguments when they began to privatize and corporatize hospitals, because I think we as people are still going into the hospitals with the mindset of when hospitals were set up the old way just to help people.
Mm-hmm.
No, right. We have to understand us going into a hospital now is not as a patient, but as a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And the same way you go to McDonald's and they'll say, well, if I want a burger and a fry, they ask you, well, do you want to supersize it? You mm-hmm. understand?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's called upselling.
Exactly.
So they don't know if another patient is coming in, so it's corporatized. So, okay, you're about to go home. The doctor told you it was fine, but I got this and I got this because I'm trying to add more to the bill. Now, they may be trying to add more to the bill, but suppose they have a side effect that keeps a person in a hospital 2 or 3 extra days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have a longer stay, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and this is why people have to realize, yes, what's in the hospital, elders, will help you. But you have to know the help you're going for. And I believe that's the reason that brother is home right now. Okay? Because he didn't allow something to go into him to a degree where it would have been told to him, listen, you have to stay in the hospital now. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can't go. You can go if you want. And you sitting there groggy, your foot done swelled up. You can't even think straight. You're like, I'm not going nowhere. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is people have to stop. Because I don't know what's going on. I know that when it happened to me as a kid when I remember a dark-skinned lady shooting me. You know, I had to get my regular schedule or whatever the case is, and I couldn't breathe. And at that time, I was diagnosed with asthma. And I know it came from that because I had to go to school or whatever the case is. And when it happened, I knew exactly where I got asthma from. And then when we went back to the doctor tried to claim that, well, no, sometimes it's genetics. You never know, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I know that when that woman gave that to me, I got asthma. So I'm saying that to say this. Who knows? It seems like more and more people are coming down with asthma-type symptoms. So being that I grew up fighting asthma, I can relate. I know what it is out of nowhere to feel that I cannot breathe. Now, the person who's never gone through that for the first time, and who knows what's being aerosols or whatever around here, and now for the first time you're walking around and you can hardly breathe because you don't know what an asthma attack feels like. And now here it is. That can cause shock in any person. They'd be like, well, hold up, man. I can't breathe. Do I got the this or do I got the that?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes you have to stop the panic and realize probably to some degree what you're experiencing, asthmatics go through all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you still have to have the knowledge, consult a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and understand always to me, and I'm going to tell you, Gabar, an elder lawyer, here's the benefit of me having the truth concerning God's word, a highest word, the Bible. The Bible makes it clear about defiling the temple. So it gives you more so an insight or a personal responsibility of knowing what's going into your body. Every ingredient you have to research now because you are accountable to this temple and to your God, right? So, like, for instance, a lot of people don't even know when you look up soy. They sold soy to us, Elder, as some type of health food.
Mm-hmm.
And soy has what in it when you look through the research? Estrogen.
Mm-hmm.
Soy can produce estrogen in a male. So do the research. You can look it up.
This is 50% of fast food protein is made out of soy.
Yeah, but
so when you're eating a burger, it's 65% soy.
What I'm saying, you see these over-emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
men and all of that, because men is supposed to have testosterone. Mm-hmm. You're eating all this food, and when you go to every shelf, you look at the back of it, they got soy in this and soy in this and soy in that, and you wonder why you're emotionally unstable. No one should have that much estrogen at all, and especially a male. That's why these men are reacting like girls.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'll talk about that, but it still comes down to knowing what's in your body, because I never, now that I understand why it's not the food administration separate or the drug administration separate. It was weird to me that you would have the Food and Drug Administration as one administration.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a conflict? You're not,
mm-hmm.
They're not crossing lines, are they? I don't know.
And what people also need to understand that, you know, sometimes it's just, and me working in the medical industry, there is incompetency is part of the problem. That when you have such a huge conglomerate institution called the medical field, the medical industry, there's going to be a lot of incompetency,
yeah.
A lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that to go back to the conversation about about not being angry or not taking it personally, is that nurse that was in that meeting and they're giving you this drug,
yeah.
She doesn't know. She's just being told. Most of every single drug and things that the medicine world accept, they were not there at the testing. They were not there at the curation. They're reading about this drug or this procedure through paper. So they're just going by what the paper is saying. So it's just knowing, like you mentioned, knowing when you go into these things, it's just the nature of the beast. They got
yeah.
They always need more money. That's why they get a lot of grants. That's why a lot of hospitals were actually qualified to be associated or be typecast as a federal or city agency because they were getting federal money. That's why they have to, they could force hospitals to make their workers to take the vaccine.
Man.
So because they always broke, because a hospital, it takes so much. It just millions
yeah,
of dollars
run.
Just to let it run.
To run in of itself, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the nature
that.
Of the beast of care, healthcare, that it almost forces good people to go bad because their livelihood. I mean, there's some good doctors out there, but it's just the nature of the beast.
Man, good point. Well, we're going to go into that and more in the academy and all that, especially – I'll probably bring you in, Elder Gabbar, if you don't have time. If you have time, Friday on my Patreon, I'm gonna start bringing y'all in
okay.
for like 15 minutes.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. So here we go. Let's go down the line. Yes, that's right. Judah in the crosshairs. The social lynching of Judah. Let's go down the line. We have Pierre has a question.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Good evening, elders. Good evening.
Good. Good evening, sir. Good to have you on. Good to have you. Shalom.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I've been trying so hard to get on, man. It's been hard to get through. But by the grace of the Most High, I was able to get through tonight. And I have a question. But before I have a question, could I just make a comment on what you were saying, which was very key as far as the two aspects that we have to pay attention to when you're talking about love and not being offended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because John 1:18 says perfect love cast out all fear. And then to correlate with that, you have Psalm 119:155 that says great peace have they that love thy law and nothing shall offend them.
Yeah.
So there you have the perfect love. And, of course, love is keeping his commandments because God is love. And in order to love God, you must keep his commandments.
Yeah. Well, that's,
that's
one aspect of it.
Right.
That's one aspect because there's no greater love than one who would give his life for his friends.
True. This is
right.
True.
So, so love is an action.
Absolutely.
It's not Disney. Okay, and that's the mistake that we're making in this the first world society. is believing mm-hmm. that love or being in love is an emotion. It's an action. Disney created the whole concept of love to make money off of the people.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Love is an obligation. Yeah. Love is an action. It's more so, you may not be the most chivalrous person out there, but you'll give your life for a person and you'll mm-hmm. respect the person. Mm-hmm. And guess what? If you have the love of Christ, being austere and all of that, hey, you may not be bringing flowers every other day, but guess what? I bet you that person, when it all goes down, they'd rather be around you than someone that's just dealing with the romance factor that was created in this world. Love is an action.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But go on.
I got a few more calls,
but go ahead. I'll let you finish up, and then I got a few more. Come on.
Okay, cool. My question is in reference to the workplace, what I'm dealing with on the job now, in reference to the vaccine. And basically, I was approved for an exemption, for religious exemption. Okay, and so the religious exemption covers the COVID-19 vaccine, but they're still trying to enforce the flu vaccine. So my thing is, isn't that the same thing?
It's the same thing. The bottom line is this: a religious exemption is a religious exemption.
Right.
Even when it comes to tests, and you can submit a religious exemption for anything that violates your core beliefs.
Yes.
And now, outside of, let me make it clear, outside of the agreement of the contract concerning mm-hmm. your responsibility to the duties for that job. Like if, for instance, if you are taking phone calls at a call center, you cannot now go to your boss and says, I have a religious exemption to not use telephones anymore. You get fired for that. So the whole thing is, we have to understand where the line goes. The line here mm-hmm. is, religious exemption is for anything that violates your religious rights. And that includes if there's a dietary law attached to your religion,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
then that means what goes into your body.
Yeah,
so the dietary law gives you the religious right the same way the law that it has with being a Jehovah's Witness. That's right. Mm-hmm. They shun what? Blood transfusions, because it's against their religious beliefs. That's a medical procedure that could help them.
True.
But Jehovah's Witnesses don't do blood transfusions.
That's their religious belief.
So you have to understand. Right. So it doesn't matter. You saying flu, whatever, it doesn't matter what that is. You have to understand what your religious practices are.
Right.
That's supposed to be protected on a job. You have to determine that with what religion you follow and the dietary laws that come with that. And you would submit mm-hmm. that to anything that would violate your religious protection. It doesn't matter what they say it is from one thing to the next.
Right.
As long as you can perform the original duties agreed upon, that's what it's about. Right. You cannot have a religious right not to do your job. Okay?
No, definitely not. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Well, let me get to the next call, brother.
Could I have someone call me? Because I had an issue that I'm dealing with. I'd like someone to call me offline to kind of deal with.
Where do you live? What city and state?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, yeah. I'll give your number to Elder Gabar, and he'll be able to handle it. Elder Ramar, make sure you give this brother's number, Pierre's number, to Elder Gabar.
All right, appreciate it. All right, you guys. Shalom and be blessed.
Bless you. Okay, we have another Pierre. We got a lot of Pierres here. Jean Pierre. Okay. Jean Pierre. That's kind of cool. 203 area code. He might be Levi. Talk to me.
Shalom, Elder. Shalom. Yes, I am the Levi.
How you doing? Talk to me.
I'm doing well. I do have a question, but first I just want to say thank you for your strength. Thank you for your teaching. I've been following this for a little bit over a year now, and my eyes has never been open as it opened now. So, and again, I just want to say thank you for your strength, your teaching, and all the elders in the congregation. And along that, I do have a question regarding this might be slightly off topic, but generational curse. I grew up in a Catholic family, and my mother and also my uncles, they still deal with the whole Catholic nonsense. And me coming into this truth now, and the fact that I still reside with my mother, just wondering, could there be a stronghold there based on the stuff that they still worship and the Sunday Mass and then the rosaries and all that, and me being part of that and with this understanding, could there be a stronghold as far as me going into that direction?
It's like this. The kingdom. The road is so narrow that only one man can walk it at a time. A husband can't bring his wife in, neither can his son bring his mother. Here's the reality of the matter, that time and chance happen to all men. And this is why Christ made statements like this, what I'm about to read here. Okay? Common sense. No man putteth a piece of new cloth into an old garment. For that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine, which is the truth, into old bottles. Else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles. Through the mouth of babes I will speak to these people, and both are preserved. Listen to me, young man, and listen good. Are you listening? You have to understand, when breaking someone's belief that's older can make them worse. Keep in mind, their belief system got them to where they are right now, being moral with a tradition to raise a son to see the truth. So to them, being that you turned out okay, there was something good there. Now, if you were to break their faith without giving them the full understanding of what this means, and you would break their faith prematurely, you wouldn't want your parents to turn out atheists and not believe anything at all. They'll be broke. So it's not that they're not listening. It's not time yet. So you have to be a man of wisdom to understand how not to break the people you love for an opportunity to bring them in when it's time. The Bible teaches us about what? About those blessed eyes that can see while others were blinded. You can't make someone see that can't see. Okay? And you can't frustrate the matter. The Most High awakened you in this time so that you can see for them. So what you need to do is respect and honor your parents and know that if you were to pull the only thing that they've been holding on from up under them, it will break them. The best way to do this is to treat them as if they have the truth, with the laws concerning honoring your parents, and don't frustrate them, and be patient with them. And eventually, I've known many parents, when their children deal with them with wisdom, came around. It ain't up to you. Right now, you're dealing with a lot of passion, because I know what that is to get this truth, and it's the only thing that exists because it's the truth. But brother, it's the truth for you. And it's for you right now to grow the wisdom of how to deal with your parents. Got it?
got it, elder, got it. The older generation leave us household is a whole different beast, I'll tell you.
Well, listen, brother, let me tell you. If my mother can come around, I'm going to tell you. Don't forget, we got generations of pastors coming straight off the slave ships. My grandfather, my mother's father was a Baptist pastor who knew the Bible and learned it through Braille, being blind. If my mother can come to the knowledge of this and don't eat pork, shrimp, crab, and lobster and all that, and now look at our videos and in the understanding, guess what? There's hope for everyone. Okay, so, brother, it's going to take – it wasn't until I laid off of my mother and did this journey that she understood that it's true, because why? Children are fickle. How many people join one thing today and because they're young and they still finding life out, turn to something else tomorrow? So she's like, I'm going to let my child just – spontaneously move me all over the place. But when she sees consistency and your family see that it's benefiting your life in ways that they couldn't have imagined, and they see a growth in you that wasn't taught by them, hey, brother, they may come in just by observing. Okay? So I'm going to keep it there. All right?
Thank you, Elder. Thank you. And one last thing. What was the scripture you just read? I just want to kind of write down.
Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 9 and 16 and 17. Okay?
Shalom, Elder. Thank you, thank you.
Shalom, bless you.
Bless you.
John has a question. He's been waiting almost an hour. I have to bring him in.
John, how are you doing? I'm doing good.
The floor is yours. Your location?
I'm in Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, okay. The floor is yours.
Okay, yeah. So I had a question about the cloud. Like, you know how it says, behold, he come with cloud? Which I've been asking my brothers that's in the truth about the cloud. So I'm trying to ask you, what do you think that it means about the cloud? Behold, he come with clouds. Every eye should see him.
You have a Bible?
Yes, sir.
Get a Bible.
Revelations 1 and 7?
No. Get a Bible.
Yeah, I got a Bible.
Okay, follow me. Go to Acts 1 and 9. 1 and 9.
Okay. Okay, Acts 1 and 9.
Read it.
I'm not on it. Hold on. I'm looking for it. I'm sorry.
All right, take your time. You've been waiting a while, so I'll be patient with you. I think you're going to be probably the last call. Probably take one more after this, and then I have to eat. Boy, there's some chicken noodle soup waiting for me, boy, I tell you.
Hey,
and it's good. And it's good. And it's good. All right, let's go.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You can read it. Psalms 104 and 3. Acts 1 and 9, and then we'll go Psalms. Acts 1 and 9, read it.
All right, so Acts 1 and 9. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight.
Okay, so he's coming back the same way if you read these angels who are telling the disciples. Read.
And while they looked steadfast towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
There you go. So he's coming back the same way, right? At the same way the disciples beheld him leaving in a cloud is how he's coming back, correct? You got that? Now, let's break down what that cloud is.
I understand what you're saying, but yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm not finished.
Go ahead.
Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. So we're going to give you the precepts. Yes, go to Psalms, the 104th Psalm, the third verse.
Okay, Psalms
104 and 3. 104 Psalm.
Who layeth the beams of his cherubims in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot.
He's what?
Upon the seas, who make the clouds his chariot.
So chariots were, take your time here. Chariots were the vehicles of old time. So something
correct
to travel in, right?
Correct. Like, go ahead.
Finish reading.
I'm sorry. Who walk upon the wings, upon the wings of the wind.
Who walk upon the wings of the wind. Something flying. So people think that it's talking about clouds in the sky. He was taken up in something that you go into and fly in. Got it?
Okay. Yes, sir. Could I say something?
Sure.
Because yet when I look it up, I see that the cloud refers to the internet. So, like, yet you coming in those clouds, you, lawmen, you know, you see ISUPK, IUIC, we all see y'all coming in them clouds. So what I'm basically saying is that, behold, he come with clouds. This is Judah, you Christ. Like, yet we all Christ. We make up the body of Christ is what it's saying.
Well, this is what I'm saying, John. You just fell all the way off the horse.
How did I? When you look up the clouds,
I'm going to show, brother, listen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with you, brother. I'm not against you. All I'm saying is you need to stop looking at all these groups and find yourself a teacher.
Yes, sir. And it says that, you know, the Father going to teach us.
Okay,
so,
well,
yes,
that's what I'm saying.
Well,
hold up, brother. Hey, listen,
go
brother.
Ahead.
Listen, brother. See, I'm here to help you also with your contradictions. Because if the Father is going to teach us, why are you on the phone trying to teach me something?
But you coming in the truth is what I'm saying. Like,
Brother, listen. Get your Bible where it talks about being tossed to and fro in different winds of doctrine. You have a Bible on you? You want to read it?
Go ahead. I got a Bible on.
Listen to me. And I'm not saying, I'm not saying to even learn under the gathering of Christ Church.
But yet those are people that's coming in the truth.
Listen. If you read the scriptures, it says not to interrupt a man in his speech, right? So that's why I wait for you to stop, because you're thinking about what you're going to say before I even say anything. So therefore, there's no edification. I'm trying to help you, brother. I'm not even saying learn from the gathering of Christ Church. If you're learning from UPK or IUIC, find a teacher somewhere, because you're going to be worse off if you don't, because you're creating your own doctrine.
About the cloud.
You don't know it. Now, listen, brother. Listen. See, you're going back to the clouds. And I'm telling you, you need a teacher. I'm trying to help you.
Okay.
So listen. Find a teacher that you most respect that can bring you from the beginning to learn the basis of doctrine and how to actually add to it. And you will realize what you're doing with cloud. You're not even in the ballpark of the doctrine of the Bible. And I'm helping you. You need a teacher. Or you're going to be frustrated. And I've seen guys like you listen to all these other people and come up with something, and next thing you know, you're not going to believe nothing at all because you didn't have a foundation. The disciples had to become students first. You can't be a student.
Yes, sir.
Listen, you can't be a student. This day I'm listening to the Pharisee. This day I'm listening to Sadducee. This day I'm listening to this group. This day I'm listening to that group. And then come the teachers who are well-learned and tenured and say, this is what cloud means. Okay? I'm trying to help you. All right?
Yes, sir. I got you.
And never say it's the Most High who teaches when you come on to teach.
No, but I'm saying when Most High is teaching, I hear the truth in you.
Brother.
I hear the truth in
you. Brother, what I'm bringing is the word, and I'm trying to help
you.
Yes,
sir, the truth. Correct.
Okay, so listen. Listen, when it says we're coming on a cloud, it's not talking about the internet. It's not.
Okay?
All right. Bless you, my brother.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to help. Listen, and I'm not arguing with you. I'm willing to help teach it, but I understand you're going down a dangerous path. You need a teacher. If it's going to be UPK or IUC, whoever it's going to be, find one, okay? If it's us.
Okay, could I ask the question even about with the C? What does the C mean?
No.
Not tonight.
Your phone number. I got your phone number. We will reach out. But the first thing we're going to tell you to do is stop.
Okay.
Okay? And learn from the beginning. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Okay.
All
right. My brother. All right. We got Brother Malcolm on the line. 770 area code.
Elder Ricard, how you doing, Elder?
I'm blessed by the Almighty. How are you, sir?
I'm honored to talk to you. I've been following your teaching for some time. I know you don't got a lot of time, but I'm just, if I can get two questions, I'm gonna be quick. Is there a place somewhere in Athens, Georgia, where I can congregate with some people?
Absolutely. Make sure, Elder Ramon, you write down Malcolm's number, and you text his number to Baruch, the man with the plan over there in Atlanta, and we're going to get with you. We got some people next to you also. Don't worry about it.
Could you ask him to give me a call, because this is a landline I'm calling off of.
Okay, so this is the only line you can be reached on?
Well, I have a different number, but I don't want to air that number out right here.
Okay. Well, this is what we'll do. Ramar, I need you to call him in about 5 minutes and get his number from him. Elder Ramar, call you.
Thank you so much, Elder. It's just a blessing to talk to you. I appreciate the work, everything you're doing, sacrificing your time for the people. Thank you so much, Elder. Good night. Thank
you. If you have a question, bring the question. Come on.
Okay. Have you ever considered working with or corresponding with the other camps? Have you ever considered talking to the leaders?
Have I considered it?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yes, I've considered it, and I think that one of these days that will happen. But not time now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All praises. Thank you. Thank you for everything.
All right. Okay. Bless you.
Bless you.
All right. All right. Let me read something real quick while I put this brother on the phone so I can give people, edify and give brothers and sisters the reason why. Because some people might think that I was being a little abrasive. Folks, if you think that I'm abrasive and what we're doing is abrasive, none of us could have withstood some of Christ's interactions. Okay, the way I interact is quite soft compared to how Christ dealt with people. Best believe. And I'm going to give an example here. Imagine a guy come up and saying, well, listen, I want to follow you, Christ. All right, give me all. Then Christ tell you, okay, sell everything you got being rich and give it to me and be broke right now. Come follow me. Just imagine that. Just imagine a guy who come there and say, yo, I want to follow you because all the knowledge that you're bringing out and all that is the truth. Man. But let me go back and real quick, I got to go to the funeral. I have to bury my father. And then I'm going to come back because you dropping that knowledge. And Christ tell him about his own father. Let the dead bury the dead. Don't go to the funeral. Come follow me. Let me read this real quick because I don't understand, folks. that the way I spoke with that brother was a way in which it was shocking, but it would shock them to the point of stopping from destroying himself. Why? If someone is about to fall off a mountain unbeknownst to themselves and you see the mountain, there's not a quiet way or a comfortable way to save him outside of snatching him. Okay? Or holler real loud and say, yo, you're walking off a mountain. Let me read this real quick. Let me read this. Thessalonians 3 and 9, it says, let me read it out of the Bible. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. The Bible says after twice, you have to talk to somebody and try to bring sanity into the conversation. Reject them altogether. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Why? Know that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. So the best way to teach a man was to break the scriptures down and edify what the cloud was. And if he was going to still stay with this cloud is the internet thing, and then mention all these other groups he'd been looking at, it's concluded that what? What's been concluded? That he's been tossed. What's being tossed, one might ask, Elder Rikashiar, what is being tossed? Ephesians 4 and 14 reads that we henceforth be no more children. Children run all over the place. Tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine. UPK, GOCC, IUIC. I didn't tell him he had to follow us. He'd be better off, if, no matter who he respect, if it was one of those groups, learning a foundation to grow from. Because when you learn a foundation, you'll come to the knowledge to know whether or not what they're teaching is wrong by progressing and growing with a foundation. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carry about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. If this man tell me that Christ has come already through the internet using us, he's making us an accomplice with his madness. And if he can tell me this, then what is he telling other people outside of us? Well, in the Bible, it teaches of those who was teaching a false doctrine that what? That the resurrection has already come. See, I have enough understanding to know when someone is saying that Christ has came already. He's on the internet through IUIC and the Gathering of Christ Church. I knew that when he said it. But I had enough patience not to be here where I am now to teach the young man that he need a foundation. And a foundation isn't wrong. If it's with IUIC and he more so amongst what them or UPK, whoever it is, but at least they'll teach a discipline to build on. As he grow in the doctrine and learn the word of truth, eventually when he grow into that doctrine, he'll be able to discern to know, well, okay, they've taken me as far as I could go, but I see something here that conflicts with Christ and Christ's doctrine. But he's not going to go too far believing that Christ came through the internet. And that's when somebody is walking off a mountain, you got to grab. Okay? There was people teaching during the time of Christ that the resurrection has already come, so that people would believe that Christ wasn't coming how he said he would come. Every eye shall see, isn't Rekar Shi'ar or Nathaniel or Yohanna or someone else on the internet teaching the Bible. He needed teaching. And you know what? Brother, if you see this, we love you. We embrace you. Join the Hebrew and Bible Academy. We'll teach it. HistoryTimes.org. All right. That concludes our broadcast for this evening. May the Most High be with you. Elders, you know I love you, and I'm glad y'all here with me. And there's no other men that I'd rather be warned with in the last days, man, than you brothers. I can tell you this. Serious men of the Most High, fearless, but yet fear the Most High. Right?
All praises. All praises, Elder. And the feeling is mutual. So, you know, after tonight, so you think you're going to be able to pass the test, don't get angry for 1 week.
Oh, guess what, Elder? I didn't get angry at all.
Right. I know you didn't. I mean, hopefully, you know.
Hey, man, listen. I taught tonight, right? We teach it.
Right.
But listen, and sometimes we have to, you know, we have to show a little bit of, you know, concern.
Right. Yeah, this week is a teaching moment for me, too. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's an experiment. Elder lawyer, you taking a challenge too? 1 week without, well, yeah, I think that's easy for other lawyer. You know, that's easy for other lawyer.
Hey, man, listen, lawyer gets hot around the collar too. Y'all just haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Right. Well, he hides it good. So
all right. Listen, hey, he gets angry, believe me. With that, you know. But anyway, but hey, I'm down with it. I will not get angry for a week. Right? I mean, it's going to be hard.
Let's do it.
I have to take minimal phone calls. I can't be taking too many phone calls. Do not call me with this stuff, y'all.
Right.
Y'all call me in five minutes about a guy that's holding his family hostage right now to somebody.
Right. It's like, okay, you know, brother, just put the gun down and, you know, let's... So I'll pray for you, Elder. Please pray for me. You know, the longest week of my life, probably. Yeah.
Elder man, I told the brother not to go to her house, man, and he's there, man, and they held up. Do not call me with those issues.
Right. After Wednesday.
All right? Don't call me about to go to the hospital and all this other stuff. I was up all night. Man, I didn't want to show it, man. But, man, I got something in my heart for that brother, man. I prayed and I'm like, listen, I'm gonna be there until this brother is home talking to me. So that was my night last night, and I was focused. When it come to focus, elders, you want me focused like I was last night. They wasn't gonna take my brother. But anyway, with that shalom, say
shalom.
Sin not, we will soon see Zion. That's right. Bless you.
Shalom, Elder.
Bless you.